Okay. So, a perspective that I told Zev I would discuss, so now I'm going to... I waited for Zev.
Great.
On the arcade dev. So, in the past... I think last year we did... I saw my Jira that I gave a partial share called Several Perspectives on the arcade dev. And it was like 10, 11 minutes. So, I guess that was what I did last year.
Okay.
So, you can go back, and those are like classic perspectives. This is a perspective I didn't know, and it's really weird. Okay? But it's from the Ron. And he's, you know, important. The Joshua Aran. It's a Rabbeinu Nisim, like the Rishon, the Talmud of the, you know, Ramban school, that person. So, he argues, and I will read it for you because I don't fully believe what I'm about to read, that the greatness of the Akedah was that it was totally optional. Well, I said it briefly, yes, like 2 days ago.
I wasn't paying attention.
That it was optional, and the greatness of Avram was that he did it anyways, which I literally do not know how to wrap my head around, because it doesn't really, like, all the moral problems people have, the Akedah, yeah, this doesn't make it better. I think it makes every problem worse. The problem on God is worse, right? Because now you can't say it's the teleological suspension of the ethical, as Kierkegaard would say, because, you know, sometimes divine command overrides morality, because there was no divine command, there was divine option, right? And you can't say that Avram was, like, having faith in God is the right thing to do, because God never told him to do it, right? So he just chose to kill his son, or attempt to kill his son. I will read it to you, but this is what he says, and if you can make sense of it, I don't know, I'm a little bit, I'm surprised by the whole thing, but I guess, okay. He says, he named Mevoah, I also didn't feel bad, like I was talking to a Churchiner about it, he had never heard it, and I asked Avigdor Rosenzweig last night, I'd heard it from his father in a shir, but he'd never heard it from his father, so like, this is not something that is like, commonly.
You're saying the exact language, isn't an ask, you're saying...
I'm going to read it. He named Mevoah... כי המצוות והעבירות העיקר בהן הכוונה וימשך ממנו שבמשך ששניים יעשו מעשה אחד ושווה ויגדל שכר אחד מהם על האחר לאין חיקר כי אחד יעשה בלי כוונה אך מסתפק ואומרים לא יועל לא יזיק ואחד עושה בלי בכוונה שלמה וזהו etc. said first thing you have to know is that all mitzvot, the key to all mitzvot is kavana. And therefore, you could have the same action, two different people. One would do it with proper kavana, one wouldn't. And the one who did it with proper kavana, that would be infinitely more valuable than the first one. Fine. I'm totally willing to put my name behind what he just said. But then he says, therefore, one who in truth really relies on God and like invests his entire self into service of God, and this is where Churchiner said, this sounds chassidish. Okay, I'm willing to give him that. Right? And he's willing to do something which is as far as possible from nature. Right, so that the greatest thing would be to prove that you're willing to do something for God that is against your nature, and the greatest act of this was Akedat Yitzchak. And then he says that I could, until that point, I even could buy that, right? Well, that it proves that he's committed to God because he's willing to do something that's totally against, right? And then he says, how do I know how bad, how much is against his nature? He said, ki lo haya nimshach lo onesh klal im lo agdo, ki lo tzivahu Hashem yitbarach bazeh. Why was it unnatural? Because nothing would have happened if he hadn't done it, because God never told him to do it. In fact, it was more than that. He had promised him that Yitzchak would be the one through whom he would have children. And that's why, and this is how he reads the Midrashic read on this pasuk, and this is quite, where does he get this from? Zeu lashona kadav kach na'i pincha. That's why it says, nah, please take your son. Which is not like, please listen to me, I know this is hard. It's, look, do me a favor. You don't want it, it's fine. It's totally fine. It says, ukvar no desh zema mar eno. Lashon Sivu, you know this is not a command. El Lashon Bakasha, it's just a request. Sheher Alo Sheitav Beinav Im Yimchol Avraham Alav Tachov Yaakov Bino. I want you to know that I would consider it a favor if you waived your rights to the promise of Yitzchak and sacrificed your son.
Weird.
Just remember that this is not a Chassidish source for whatever, however much it sounds like that. This is the Ron. Okay, like the Ron. V'lu haya Avraham mishivo. He just doubles down on this. He says, had Avram said back to God,
no.
Hein lo nasati zera ki in zeh v'yitachani bo v'ech yaseh zeh. If he had said, listen God, you promised me children, this is the only one, how am I supposed to do this? Lo nechav lo avon, lo tizgo onish mizeh. So he wouldn't have been punished. It would have been fine. The aval pichen, the godel ahavato in Hashem, matzat levavo l'akto, k'di shiaseh chifat Hashem yitbarach levad. But nevertheless, because of his great love for God, he found it in his heart to sacrifice his son to do God's will. That's his claim. Which, okay, first of all, I don't know what's going on,
yeah.
Right? Because it really doesn't sound that way. Second of all, as Rosenzweig noted in this small, you know, sort of, he was like in the middle of saying something else, and he threw this out there. There's also a fundamental problem here, which is that what drives the Ran is that the Akedah is, and this is actually an important philosophical point, is Ava Mekalkelet Ashura, essentially. Right? That he so loved God that he was willing to do this. Why does the Ran have to say that? Right? This is a very sharp point by Rabbi Rosenzweig.
He says, like, following the mitzvot is not love of God.
No, because it's optional, right? And therefore it can only be love. But if you read the Psukim, what Midah was being expressed by the Akedah?
Listening
Yira.
To God.
Yira, it says, right now I know that you are Yarei Hashem.
Right.
Yeah, because if it was a command, and you do it even though you don't understand it, that can be fear of God. But the Ran can't say it's fear of God because there's no fear. Because God said you don't have to do it, I'm asking you for a favor. And therefore he has to counter-read the Pasuk and said that this is not an expression of Avram's fear of God, but of Avram's love of God.
But the Pasuk says it's fear.
Yes, that's what Rosenzweig pointed out, that this Ran is very complicated, right? Besides for, there's two very big problems. One is, it doesn't sound like it's not like an option. The second of all is, that also leads him to counter-read what the value being expressed here was. Yeah.
Yeah, but there's also a Gemara which literally says the opposite of, you know, his end result. Is that if you do something optional, it's actually that it's less. It's less.
Yes, this is going against Gadol HaMetzuva V'Yosef. Yes, yes, indeed, indeed it is. Indeed it is. It's going like the Havamina in the Gemara, right? Which is, I guess, a third. I don't normally do this in Parsha. Just read something and just sort of think about it with you. But I'm doing it because I'm still processing it.
Was Ava bad or just not?
No, not bad. No, no. For him, it's better.
No, just listen.
In the Gemara, it's better to do something because you are commanded.
Yeah.
It's less good to do something optionally.
But still good.
Sure.
Yeah. It's
yeah.
Good.
But he says this is the ideal.
Why would you
right?
change the meaning of the pasuk to make it less good for Avram?
Yeah. And then he continues, and he tries to prove this from Yerushalmi. He says, V'lezeh uchiach b'Yerushalmi, Amar Rabbi Abba bar Avin, b'shem Rabbi Yochanan, Amar Avram lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Yerushalmi says that God said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono shel Olam, Galoi v'yadu lefanecha, shebishah shamarti lalad Yitzchak v'ni al gabei mizbech, haya li lahashi v'lomar amarti li k'vi Yitzchak yikara lechazera. Yerushalmi says, God, Avram says to God, look, I could have told you this goes against your promise. But chas v'shalom, lo asiti kein, kavashtit, yitzri la'zod v'tzornecha. Now, that is I would have read the Yerushalmi descriptively. Like, Avram could have said, what? Right? He says, no, prescriptively. Right? Like, God, he had the right, not he could have said that, like, as a human being, that would be the normal reaction. No, he actually could have said to God, listen, I have no interest. Right. I have no interest because it goes against. And then the Yerushalmi goes on to say that this is, right, obviously defense. And then he says in the next paragraph, "V'kama pinot nitkaimu b'maseh nechbad hazeh." How many aspects were fulfilled by this action? Ha'echad, inyad aravat Hashem it'ala b'leiv o'avat heichani magat. The first is it shows you how much the people who love God, and how far that goes. Which again, as I pointed out, as Rosenzweig points out correctly, the theology that the Ran reads here in a vacuum makes a lot of sense, except it is literally the opposite of the quality of the relationship of God that is being expressed according to the Torah, right? Yira rather than Ahava. Hasheni, she'ein b'nevuata nevi'im shum safek im ba'anyan me'ito yitbarach shemayin nechnaz b'ilam shum safek eich yasav ramah masa nifla hazeh. He said, the second thing you learn from this story is how convinced prophets are of the content of their prophecy, because otherwise no one would do this.
Uh-huh. Isn't that the same if they were commanded to do it, if he was commanded to do it?
Yeah, but his point is that you have to be very convinced that the command you're getting is an actual command and not insanity, right?
Yeah, I guess so, right.
Okay, I guess, right? Hashlisha sheet emunat hasharot, right? And then he goes on. The third is that is the belief in essentially the afterworld, right? Those are the three things that you learn from this story. Okay, I can maybe put my name behind two of the three of those, maybe. Like I said, I really don't know what to do with this rod. I think it's important to know it exists.
Yeah.
I'm not really sure how I missed it, or maybe I blotted it out. I think I did some of Yusha Ron, but I didn't get through all of it. So it's possible I didn't do Vav, or that I did, and I am suppressing it in my memory. I don't know. Again, I don't think it solves problems. I think it makes them worse. I think it's a very hard read, both of the command sounding part of this thing, and the fact that the expression of the Akedah is supposed to be an expression of Yira. But I think it's worth noting that there is this Shita out there. If you come up with a reason for what drove him to this, besides for a tenuous read of, you know, na, meaning like please, not like I know this is hard, please do it, but.
Right. I feel like he probably had like some idea that he wanted to express, and he like.
So I don't know. I really don't know. Or he was really convinced by this, or, you know, I don't know if he thinks it's worse, right? Part of me reading this paragraph makes it feel like he thinks it would be worse if God actually commanded it, because then, like, right? It sort of sounds like he's worried that if it was actually commanded, then God would actually have been undermining his own promise. But by giving Avram the option, right, he's allowing Avram to waive the promise, so that doesn't contradict God's truth, right? It sort of sounds like that's one of the theological problems he's dealing with, which was really the last theological problem that I had with the story. But if you think of something else, of what drove it or what I'm missing in this story, let me know. But in the meantime, this is at least Chomer L'Machshava, and considering the importance of the Akedah and Jewish theology, knowing every perspective on it is helpful. But that applies to people online who sometimes send emails to me, which I appreciate. If you have some insight on this and want to tell me, please, I will share it with the guys when you send it to me.